Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It is the close of another period of productivity to be edged by in productivity so that you can be prepared for more productivity. I don't understand that. I do get the rest thing. And as a matter of fact, I find that interesting how that all kind of, how even in the secular society, they kind of acknowledge the need for rest. Got to have it. And I'll just end with the concept that the rest is actually sacred, that when the Lord rested, he sanctified. And so on the seventh day, we're supposed to rest. It's the same thing with the sacred ground. As the agrarian calendar or whatever the calendar that Israel used for the millennia has always been, work the ground for 6 years and rest it because it's sacred. Anyway, I digress. Hopefully your work is good, righteous work and moving forward. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that is out to provide the tangible solution in getting the federal government into the Constitution, into the framework and scope of the Constitution, the way they're supposed to be behaving, so that we can enjoy the fruits of our labors instead of actually seeing our wealth and our opportunities being stolen from us and being delivered throughout a communistic society of the world. It is immoral. It is wrong. The position that we are in today, we can easily fix it. All of our problems, most all of our problems, will go away when we start complying with the Constitution. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. But let me kind of repeat what I said yesterday. What you will not hear at CPAC as it all leaks out to you, and if you've attended and or attending, you will not hear any tangible solution that will get the federal government, which will solve our problems, get the federal government out of our knickers, get them back into the framework of the Constitution. Why? I don't know. I've asked to be a part and I've asked to be able to go speak, but I haven't been invited yet. Maybe next year they'll ask for G.R. Mobley to come and speak to them about, what is this thing? You're actually going to solve our problems? You're going to take away our... Because you got to understand that people get it very quickly. As a matter of fact, I've sat there and watched people, and I don't want to mention any names because some of these people are really beloved by conservatives, but I've actually watched them calculate in their mind exactly what Republic Review will do to their market space and how they make money. And watch that actually go through their minds and instantly see them taking a negative position. Nah, that won't work. And be very dismissive. And then we walk away. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. And not hear a word from them ever again. And so there are those out there that are, they get it. They understand that it's all about money to them. And I had a conversation this morning regarding the downfall of the Christian church from the Second Awakening. What it ended up doing in destroying Christianity within America was that the Second Awakening created or opened the door for mammon to become the focus of the Christian church. In other words, making money. As people became professional, if you want to call them shysters or whatever, as they started taking money from their flock and putting it into their pocket. And today, if you go to the Circle of Protection, go search Circle of Protection, Welfare, the Bread of Life, you duck, duck, go, the Circle of Protection, Bread of Life, and you will probably find the The Circle of Protection, I think it's .us. But anyway, you'll find who the people are that are all behind this. Look for the signatories. They have a PDF. And if you can't find it, just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have it on my, I believe it's on my podcast page, or I don't think it's on my important links. It should probably should be over there. But anyway, look it up. Those folks are out to keep government, to grow entitlement so that they don't have to use any of the money that they receive to take care of the temporal welfare of their parishioners. And that is about as unchristian and about as immoral as one could think. Let me do the obligatory groveling. I'm going to be just like yesterday. I'm going to try to speed through all of this because I want to get to some more militia stuff. This is so important. But if you want to get involved, if you want to support us, you can do it in many ways. And you can be a part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem. We can use your help by sending me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And we will get you started. I appreciate everybody that's been contacting me, and I appreciate what you're doing. There are people that are actually working out there, and I thank you. We are growing because of you. Now, if you have the ability to support us and just help cover our travel costs so that we can actually get in front of state legislators, your state legislators, and actually have the conversation, we really try to keep the travel costs down to as much as possible so that we don't have to spend that much money in doing all of this. I would just ask that you go to the GoFundMe page, which is Reclaiming the Republic, or go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and click on the link. It'll take you straight there, and you can throw, you know, 5, 10, whatever. And I'm asking you again, I want to put this back on your radar. Start saving 1 gallon of gas a week. Put it away in some little, you know, jar or what have. Because in 2020, I'm going to ask you to use that money to help get some of these constitutional candidates that we need to get behind so that we can get red states to start saving our butts. Because if the red states don't stand up, we're gone. It is that simple. It is really that simple. If the red states do not stand up and take a hold of the Constitution prior to the federal government shredding it and saying, we can't do this anymore, we don't need this, and have all the Democrats and everybody, okay. I'm telling you, it is gone. And so another organization, as you know, is Our First Right. Get a hold of Aaron, and as a matter of fact, their email and everything is right there on Reclaiming the Republic on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. Go ahead and reach out to these folks, as well as Keith Broders and the Constitution Club. Go sign up there and become a part of these constitutional crusaders, because that's what we are. We're crusaders. We're not out to... We're not warriors just looking for a fight. We're actually trying to preserve and restore the Constitution as it was in, not just intended, but as designed and as legally defined. And we'll get into that in just a second. But thank you so much again for tuning in. I'm humbled by the growth of, in just the 1 year, where I'm standing in the rankings and so forth. I really appreciate it. We're doing really well. We need to do much better, and we're not doing it fast enough. So do what you can to try to help get people to understand that there is really a tangible solution. If you don't think so, or if they don't think so, just have them reach out to me. Prove to me how we're wrong here, because constitutional professors can't do it. And so I truly believe that when we get the states to stand up, and we get enough states to stand up, then we will actually get the change that we need, that will actually not just change, will actually restore the Constitution as it was defined. And this is going to be a huge paradigm shift, because this will help redefine the direction of America as to becoming once again champions for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So I do want to get into the militia, and I've got a lot of other stuff I need to kind of wade through, so please bear with me, because these things, I know that they don't go anywhere, but these things are relevant as I've kind of talked about them in the past and so forth. And so let me just ask you this. What kind of conservative are you? Are you an original intent kind of person? Or are you a strict constitutionalist? And I don't know what the difference is, but I think that some people find that, you know, they go by the original intent, or no, it is this. Or do you believe in, and I'll just say this, the living document? In other words, do you believe that, because a lot of conservatives will not say that they're in the living document camp, but they'll say, oh, but I do believe that the legal and the court system is the constitutional process of, you know, creating precedents, case law, and moving this Constitution in the direction that it needs to go. Are you in that camp? Are you the kind of person that believes that the Supreme Court has that level of jurisdiction? Or are you a legally defined constitution kind of person? Because I'm asking to change your paradigm to the legally defined constitution. I want you to understand, intent leads to interpretation. Legally defined leaves it to how it was written. And when I say how it was written and how it was defined to the founders, the states during the ratification process, how they defined it at that point in time and how they clarified it is how it was legally defined. You've been hearing me say that the ratification debates are literally legal appendages to the Constitution, and they are. You can't refute that. That is the basis of contract law. As you define the contract, that becomes legal definitions. And so when we take on that paradigm, it wipes away the ability of interpretation and so forth. But I don't want to bleed into the upcoming break, so we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so I've kind of gone over this several times, but I'm going to have to start repeating this because I think it's really important because most people don't get this. It is not about intent. It is not what the framers' intent was. It is how they legally defined it to the states as the states accepted this new contract. The Constitution of the United States, as it was being sold, was truly a new form of government. Bicameral legislative body. It had three different and co-equal branches, so forth and so on. It was truly a new government, and many of these states, not all of them, were Delawares that they wanted to rubber stamp it because they realized that there was a great opportunity for such a small state to be a part of a big union like this, and that it wasn't such a hands-tied government that was created in the Articles of Confederation. Clearly, how these things were defined to those states that vigorously debated this is critical. And I made this comment today. It was divine providence that these things were preserved, and more importantly, that these definitions were written down. Not only that, it was divine providence that these definitions were harmonious. I mean, what would we do if in the Pennsylvania debates they argued very myopically towards interpretation of the Supreme Court because they were, you know, type of people that were very litigious and thought that, you know, the lawyers and the courts ought to be the ones that should be deciding everything. And that's how they sold the Constitution, which would be a complete contrast to how it was defined in the Carolinas, as well as Virginia, as well as the other states. Well, then we would have a conflict. The beautiful thing of the divine hand of providence that was behind all of this was there was harmony. There was harmony in all of the descriptions. There really isn't any conflict at all in how they defined this Constitution. It was truly a limited and defined and enumerated Constitution that the federal government's jurisdiction was limited to those objects defined in the Constitution and only those objects enumerated. We are now in the position of having access to these documents once again to hold the government to these definitions, that the only process that they can legally make the changes that they've tried to make was going through the Article 5 process, and they denied that process moving forward, and they did it deliberately so that they could create a government that they felt was better for us than the ones that we legally allowed to occur. Bottom line, if we didn't follow the legal process, then it's all illegal, it's all a sham, and that is the beauty. There's no doubt in my mind the divine hand of providence understood that we were going to drift away from this, and that in these days, we would be able to pull up these documents that define these things and be able to come to a true north, be able to come to the high fidelity, the fidelity being true to the original. And that's what we need to do, is we need to be true to the original design of the Constitution so that we can once again become a very prosperous and very blessed nation. I don't have any better word of saying that, because as we become the proponents and the champions of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, we will be able to create such a much better America and even a better world. There was nowhere in the Constitution, they did talk about being able to bring in new states at equal footing and everything else. There is nowhere in the Constitution that says that the Constitution was limited to only the people on this continent and a couple of other islands and other lands within, you know, the continent. There's no reason why we can't just abolish the UN and say, if you want to be a part of a government that is ensconced and fully embraces individual liberty and individual sovereignty, unlike every other government out there. All these other governments are absolutely maniacal and evil. The UN is the bastion of evil. And I am telling you that there's no reason why we shouldn't be opening up. And I'm not just saying we open the doors immediately. There has to be processes so that Estonia, so that Chile, so that all these nations around the world, now that we're at a point where distance doesn't keep us separate, because back in the old days, if you tried to create a European state as a part of America, it would take months for the communications and everything else to even be worked out. Even in the original Republic, it took weeks to months to getting information passed back and forth. But today, we have the instantaneous. There's no reason why we can't start allowing, other than meeting the very specific standards and the same standards that we used to have way back then. Did you know that you had to be a Christian territory and or state to become a member of the United States? Did you know you had to speak English? They had very firm, and we need to go back to that. We need to go back to those exact same standards that they had. But we can do this. And we can actually provide a path forward with a path of getting rid of those things that have just been trying to destroy individual liberty and individual sovereignty throughout the world. How much better would the world be if we all lived under the protection of the Constitution? I think everybody listening to this show understands the beauty and the divine hand of providence that we are protected by, and the understanding that our rights are not sourced from government, that they are endowed, as the Declaration clearly states, we are endowed by our Creator, inalienable rights. Anyway, I didn't want to get into necessarily such a long sermon over this, but I need you to start changing your paradigm to the legally defined Constitution instead of the original intent paradigm. Now, yesterday, I really glossed over this, and I didn't get into the details that I wanted to get into, but I did talk about this new gun reform that was going through, that the House this week voted on. Two new gun bills aimed at strengthening, supposedly, background checks on the system. And I mentioned the fact that we needed a better background check on lawmakers, not buyers of guns. And I wanted to put this into context because I wasn't actually able to get into why we need political reform. Politicians are guilty of mass murder, and it pales. What they have done in so many different aspects pales all shootings combined by these bad players. If you look at the CAFE rulings and what they have done to cars and how many people have died by the government standards of what they have done to CAFE rules, there are many people that have gotten into these vehicles that the government has dictated and have been literally consigned to death as they collide with a truck or something else. They didn't create these things as a more safe, but that's what happens when government gets to dictate. It's the same thing when government dictated the ending of the spraying of DDT for killing mosquitoes. Oh, well, it was killing. No, there was no evidence of any of that. That was all hyperbole. And if you understand the implications, millions and millions of people around the world all died from the banning of DDT and are still dying from malaria and so forth. And that's what governments do. That's not even pulling a trigger. That's just the swiping of a pen. And next thing you know, millions of people are going to die and they're going to suffer. And I don't think government should be able to do that, at least not to that level. That's why we had clearly defined roles, responsibilities, and powers. And our U.S. government was not given the enumerated power to dictate what type of environmental spraying you did, but they stepped in and they stopped the manufacturing and the spraying of DDT. And that alone killed all sorts of people. They don't have the constitutional power to create CAFE rulings, but they did, and millions of people have died from that. If you understand, if we get the federal government back into doing those things, it doesn't mean people aren't going to die, but it's going to be at a much smaller scale because it won't be at a federal mandate. We'll actually be able to see the implications of what states do and say, you know what, I don't think we want to do that here. Look at what that's doing. There are people dying because of what they did there. Instead of just mandating and looking blindly forward, this is how we're doing this. And how are we looking to revamp this whole process is what we're trying to do here, because we're literally trying to revamp the party in one direction and one direction alone, so that we can, and this is all a part of political reform, right? We need to start having background checks, but we need to start holding people accountable to that one word as a public servant you must do, and that is comply. You have to comply to the constitutions. You have to support the Constitution per your oath. You fail to do that, you lose your ability to be a public servant, because Section 3 and the 14th Amendment is the path of protecting us from bad players who are public servants. You want to get rid of Pelosi? Slap her with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. She'll never be able to be a public servant again if we started actually applying that as it was designed and as it was argued in the debates in Congress. I've already covered this. I'm at a hard break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So one of the things, because it was just a coincidence that this idea of political reform as a response to this whole new gun reform that the Congress is trying to ram down our throats, unconstitutionally, by the way. But the one thing that I actually started doing because of my cohort and partner basically said, hey, we need to start delineating these things. And I go, you know what? You're absolutely right. So I started actually working on some new models that will show how we can make rhinos extinct. I mean, we're gonna kill off rhinos. There's gonna be no way a rhino can survive within the Republican Party. And as a matter of fact, the design of the path we're going down will bring back those libertarians who left based on the constitutional principles that drove them away from the Republican Party in 1971. And we're going to bring back those who broke off from the Constitutional Party and make both of those parties obsolete. Those parties will be going away by creating a new model for the Republican Party. Yes, Republican Party, your Your days are numbered. You are going to become the grand supporter, and you're going to be standing on the bedrock of the Constitution instead of agendas. You can't support the Constitution and agendas at the same time. And so we are out to change all things. I told you, this is a solution-based show. This is a solution-based effort. We're not here to just try to make money. We're here to actually bring tangible results. And so that's why I go by GR. But anyway, let me just kind of move on and get back to what I wanted to go through as well. Now, I think I mentioned this yesterday, and I love Wyoming. And I consider myself a transplant Wyomingite, even though I don't live there. A Wyoming school district plans to reopen an isolated school to serve a single child entering into kindergarten this fall. Now, again, I love the Wyomingites, but why not help this family homeschool instead of opening up an indoctrination center for one? It's got to be cheaper than to pay for a teacher, the curriculum, and all of that. If you understand how to get rid of the indoctrination centers altogether, it's about competition of curriculum, not competition of structure and or the charter schools and the regular schools. They're all using the same curriculum. We need to get rid of and or actually the processes. And there is good competition out there. There is actually certified homeschooling that does not use their curriculum. And that's why they're hated. That's why they're considered the enemy to the state, because they're not abiding by the holy curriculum of the National Secular Church. So anyway, to be clear, I'm not opposed to paying teachers a proper salary. I just want to put this out there. But we need to shut down the bureaucracy that has been driving this, that has been influenced. And that's where the Soros, these people are so greedy for money, their avarice reeks. And I just ask you to drive by the school district bureaucracy buildings, wherever they are, go to where the school district all meets, their bureaucracy. And none of these people are in a classroom. They're all a bunch of bureaucrats. And look at what type of cars they drive. Do they drive the kinds of cars that is just the normal cars for your area, for your milieu, your environment? Or do they drive, better than nice cars? Or they drive, the top-notch cars? Because it's pretty obvious. And as a matter of fact, Tucker Carlson, in one of his documentaries, as he was struggling in Fox News to come to where he is today, he pointed out, all of these facts about how much money these bureaucrats were making, the reason why teachers and the reason why schools were suffering so much, and it's based on the design. It's a political bureaucracy game that they play. It needs to be shut down. It needs to be shut down completely, and it needs to go into completely different hands instead of the politics and politicians. That is where they have been successful in destroying and dumbing down America. Now, let me get into some things that if you have not been a part of and not getting the Need to Know News from G. Edward Griffin and his Need to Know News website, you really need to go sign up, because I'm going to give you a few stories that I've extrapolated from his news emailer that he sent out today. And one of the things that he talks about, because everybody's talking about this, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, a bill introduced by Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, would have imposed criminal penalties on doctors who failed to provide babies who survived attempted late-term abortions with medical care equal to that which would be given to any infant. The bill was defeated by the Democrats in the Senate. It is ironic that Democrats argue for health care for all, yet they reject care for born babies who survive abortion. Only a tiny minority of 18% of the Democrats support late-term abortion, yet the Democrat politicians voted overwhelmingly to shut this down, leaving critics to speculate the party is being paid off by Planned Parenthood. The public is rejecting Democrats' extremism of infanticide, as 55% of the people polled last month showed support for pro-choice, and only 38% have been supporting pro-life. So, however, current polls show that the support for pro-choice has fallen while the support for pro-life has risen. And I'm just telling you that don't go by the polls, go by the morals, go by your gut of what's right and what's wrong. And infanticide is wrong. But this is just another case of marketing that needs to be exploited in the 2020 election. And who is going to be around to remember that we need to make political hay, that the Democrats are out to kill babies. And down the road, it will be elderly people. It'll be just like the Nazi Germany when Hitler came to power and he said, you know, we do not have all of the resources to take care of all of these non-productive people. We have to get rid of the mentally ill, the physically deformed, and the elderly who cannot contribute. And they killed, I want to say it was over 250,000 people out of Germany. Those were the first people they gassed and killed. And in getting people to buy off on that, they started recognizing, well, we got to start killing some of these other people. Let's go after the Jews. And if you read Mein Kampf, the Jews had ample warning. And when Hitler got to power, everybody should have been forewarned, and every Jew should have gotten out of Germany at that point in time when he came to power, because everything in his book came to be. And it's just like I tell you, when you start seeing bad ideas, just like this infanticide, just like this single payer system, you know, Hillary Care was, you know, thwarted. And, oh, we stopped that. But it sure grew legs, and now it's been rammed down our throat. Everything, this Green New Deal, this is going to grow legs, and in 10 to 20 years, it's going to be rammed down our throat. Don't think otherwise. The only way we're going to beat all of this and get all of these evil things out of our life is getting the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. These socialists, these communists, if we force them to comply to the Constitution, the only thing they can do is try to amend the Constitution, and we have plenty of states that would stop their agendas. Plenty of states, because you only take 13 states. It only takes 13 states to keep them from doing insane and stupid things. There's no way they would ever be able to change the Constitution regarding the Second Amendment, because there's far more than 13 states that support the Second Amendment rights. And I don't ever see the sentiments ever changing, because people recognize that the Second Amendment is not just about hunting. It is about keeping a check on your government. It's all about protecting yourself from tyrannical government. That's exactly what the framers did, and that was their intent. And we got to get back. And if we get back to compliance, we'll have militias again, and we'll actually see the true design and role that a militia has. And I do want to get into this, because it's really important, because Madison talks about this, that you don't have a right to protest. Because people think that you have this right to protest. They defined it in the ratification debates. When Madison, I'm getting excited, you can tell, because I'm starting to stumble a little bit. But when Madison was asked by Clay, you know, what about these insurrections? He goes, what about a riot? What about, you know, all of a sudden a constitutional law coming out and the people rioting, you know, we can use the militia to shut down and enforce the civility. In other words, they didn't put up with these instant protests and riots of the Antifa and everything else. There is no constitutional right to that. Here are the guys arguing the Constitution, saying we have to quell, we have to shut down these riots. And so I'm going to get into that, though, because that's a part of the militia reading that we're going to get into today. G. Edward Griffin gives you a great connecting the dots as well in this latest email that he sent out on the four families that are out to destroy California that have been very successful in destroying all of these good things in California, as well as getting them $2 trillion in debt. So if you have not signed up for it, you need to get there, and you need to sign up for Need to Know News. I'm at a hard break, so we will be right back with some other really good news, and then I'm going to dive into these ratification debates. So we'll be right back. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic, as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And also, another important story, just in time for the upcoming 2020 elections, a Facebook employee just recently leaked documents to James O'Keefe at Project Veritas. And Keefe has been exposing these progressives left and right. And here's another time where he shows that the tech giant has been discriminating, as we all know, against conservatives through technology means and behavior modification. The troll Twilight Zone was intended to demoralize conservatives. And that was, I guess, an operational name that they had within Facebook. But it was designed to demoralize conservatives and influence important elections. In other words, they came right out and said, we want to influence this coming election. And so they're going to try to do it again. And just so if we're not wise to this, then what are we going to do? Either we get off of Facebook, or we demand that the federal government come in, and that's unconstitutional. So the real constitutional alternative is to go somewhere else. MeWe is out there. I'm on MeWe, and you can hit me up there. I have to live in both worlds, though, because not enough of you have gone to MeWe. But we need to get there, and I know that MeWe is kind of like the Wild Wild West, because there's lots of people that are doing all sorts of things. There are no controls and so forth, but you got to be, you have to be vigilant, because you just can't let in everybody that knocks on your door in. And that's good advice for anybody. Anyway, there's another really good story that comes out of the Need to Know News, and this may really shock you, but a Missouri woman who has been involved in the refugee immigration program in Missouri was on the Josh Tawley radio show, and was telling him how she became involved in the state's refugee immigration program, and how the program is far more extensive and advanced than most people realize. We already know that they're doing something here that's a very very similar to doing in the EU. And she describes how the UN, under the heading of the Agenda 2030, is planning immigration into the U.S. similar to what is happening in Europe. The goal is to create chaos and lay the foundation for breaking the U.S. into smaller political units. And if you've never seen this, they've actually broken down the United States into regions very similar to our circuit court system. The UN, if you understand all of that, then you can understand the importance of protecting our sovereignty, and the UN's representation of subjugation should be enough to scare everybody. We need to start maintaining compliance. What is it going to take to get you on board and supporting the only solution to getting all of these things done? There is no constitutional standing for refugees having to come to America. There is no need for it. I'm just telling you that we have to start standing up against these evil policies like the Agenda 21, 2030, and so forth. They are designed, and as a matter of fact, I've been telling you that the refugees are a part of the democratic collapse, right? I tell you that all of these useful idiots coming out of our education system, oh, same thing with the illegal aliens and the refugees, they all play a part. Refugees, as they come here, receive passports and social security numbers so that they can receive social security benefits that they haven't even paid into. That was never the design of the system. They are screened and, where possible, encouraged to apply for lifetime disability benefits under Social Security. Are you kidding me? You need to be aware of what the heck they're doing. Many refugees are allowed into the U.S. who have communicable diseases such as tuberculosis, leprosy, and smallpox. The woman also reported there is a zero vetting of refugees, that most all are FUNUs, which is an acronym for full name unknown. In other words, we really don't know who they are. And most of them are males aged 15 to 45. In other words, combatant men instead of women and children. And so you need to go to Need to Know News and sign up. This is critical. And they provide really good headlines that you are not reading in the mainstream media. I will also go down the path of telling you that the normalization of sexual perversion in America has been a lot. And I've told you this. It started back with the Fabian Society. Had people known precisely their agenda and the details that these guys had in trying to debase and pervert America, they would have been killed. It would have been just like the gathering of the witches in Salem, because the people back then, back in the 1800s, 1880s, even 1890s, they would not tolerate that type of bestiality, homosexuality, and so forth. They would have shut them down and killed those guys, or at least ran them out and said, we'll not have any of that here, if they knew that that was their intent in infiltrating and bringing communism to America. We need to just get into the ratification debates with what little time I have. So let me start off with where I kind of left off, and it was with Governor Randolph. And so Governor Randolph, as you know, was another delegate that went to the Constitution debates, and he was at the convention the whole time. And he was the one that presented the Virginia plan, and he says, Mr. Chairman, our attention is summoned to, and this is still on June 14th. So this dialogue that I've been going through the past couple of days has been, pretty intense, but it's all been on the 14th. Mr. Chairman, our attention is summoned to this clause respecting the militia, and alarms are thrown out to persuade us that it involves a multiplicity of danger. It is supposed that the honorable gentleman lately up, which means Madison and Clay, and another gentleman, which is Clay, that the clause for this calling forth the militia to suppress insurrections, repel invasions, and execute the laws of the Union implies that instead of using civil force in the first instance, the militia to be called forth to arrest petty offenders against the laws. Ought not common sense be the rule of interpreting this Constitution? Is there an exclusion of the civil power? Absolutely not. Does it provide that the laws are to be enforced by military coercion in all cases? No, sir. All that we infer is that the civil power, if the civil power is not sufficient, the militia must be drawn out. Who are they, he says, and I cheerfully acquiesce to the rectitude of the assertion. They are the bulwarks of liberties, because these are the citizens that we share the streets with, we share our neighborhoods with. They are us. And I'm adding all of this. I'm trying to explain that the militia is a part of everybody. It's just like having a voluntary fire department. Everybody, if you live in fire danger, like out in a small community where, you know, everybody has to become a firefighter. If you live in a place where, you know, there's a need for everybody to be a part of the bucket brigade, then that's what you have to do. And so everybody is to be a part of the militia. Shall we be afraid? And going back to what he says, shall we be afraid that the people, this bulwark of freedom, will turn instruments of slavery? The officers are to be appointed by the states. Will you admit that they will act so criminally as to turn against their country? You got to remember, their country was the state. States are countries, right? Just like Britain is a state, it is a country. Washington is a state, it is a country. And so most people totally lose this concept that states are just states. But no, states means a country. The officers of the general government are attached to it because they derive their appointment from it. Admitting the militia officers to be corrupt, what is it to make them to be in favor of the general government? Will not the same reason attach them to the state governments? But it is feared that the militia are to be subjected to laws when not in service. They are only to be called out in three cases, only to be governed by the authority of Congress when in the actual service of the United States, so that their articles of war can no longer operate upon them when the actual service of the Union. Now, to be clear here, because Madison kind of clarifies this whole point, that even though they're called out on the authority of Congress, the president is the chief, the commander-in-chief of the militia when they are to be called. Can it be presumed that you can vest the supreme power of the United States with the power of defense and yet take away this natural defense from them? You risk the general defense by withholding this power. With respect to a standing army, I believe there was not a member in the Federal Convention who did not feel indignation at some institution. What remedy at such an institution? In other words, they all felt indignation. They were not enamored. They hated. They had disdain for standing armies. What remedy then could be provided? Leave the country defenseless in order to provide for our own defense and exclude the dangers of a standing army? The general defense is left to those who are the objects of defense. It is left to the militia, who will offer, if they become the instruments of tyranny. The general government must have power to call them forth when the general defense requires it. And as you can tell that I am all out, but I will keep track of where we are with Governor Randolph speaking here, and we will pick this up on Monday. I'll try to give you a brief synopsis if I can, but I'm G.R. Mobley, and I am Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. God bless, and have a great weekend. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.